The truth is that when those elite receivers left those quarterbacks were still really good. Wide receivers don't really make quarterbacks. They make quarterbacks' lives easier. But the fact of the matter is, there aren't a lot of examples of quarterbacks who lost elite receivers and then suddenly they weren't good anymore. People said the exact same thing when Calvin Johnson left Matt Stafford. It just doesn't end up being the case. And I don't know why we continue to go down this road narratively when there isn't a lot of backing data on that. But the people who once again drunk at the well of the Stephon Diggs made Josh Allen and all the stat lines about Josh Allen without Stephon Diggs running its way around, those stat lines are going to look a lot different. That's my prediction for the Buffalo Bills for 2024.
Bruce Nolan with the new Bruce exclusive podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, go ahead and give him a listen if you're not already doing that. We had him on last hour. It's always a great time to be able to talk to Bruce, and it's always good to hear from him with the wellspring of knowledge that he has with the Bills. And I'd ask the question to him, and I want to open it up to everyone else. What new storyline or new angle with this season are you most excited about with the Buffalo Bills? Because let's think about this. Back on Thursday, I'd come in here and I did the Extra Point Show. Mm-hmm. And Joe and Nate had done something called Bills Zoomies, where it was get the last little bit of nervous energy out.
Yeah.
And it turned into a lot of commiserating. A lot of, you know, the losses to the Chiefs, everything like that. And And I didn't want to do that. Because I'm thinking to myself, training camp's around the corner. There should be excitement, wonder, curiosity. And like, we shouldn't have the anger of the past at this point. That's what literally a new season's supposed to be about. And that's what got me thinking of, I've done this in the past, where I don't care about training camp. I don't care about preseason. I don't even care about the regular season. Like, get me to January. And that was a dangerous mindset to have. Zach had done this with me a couple years ago, saying that it was a dangerous mindset to have because then you're not going to enjoy the wonder of the season that happens as it is. And this season feels genuinely different because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many questions. There's some uncertainty, genuine uncertainty about how good this team can be, really. But as long as there's a certain quarterback under center, they will be fine. We've seen teams with great quarterbacks miss playoffs every now and then. But I also don't look at this Bills roster and think that they're bad.
No, not at all. Unproven is the proper word. And I think that's where a lot of people are off on their analysis. Is it's not that they're going to be bad because they don't know. They just don't know what they're getting, really. And I mean, Spencer Brown, we heard a clip from him coming back from a break. The guys are putting the work in. OTAs went smooth, he said. So I think you're really going to... In preseason, I still don't like preseason as an indicator for anything.
No.
The Steelers beat the Bills in the preseason last year.
Beat the bricks off of them.
Bricks off of them. And I remember...
I had to host that game.
Yeah.
And everyone called in miserable. And I'm like, it's a preseason game.
That's what I was going to say. And like a lot of Pittsburgh guys, like podcast guys, I should say, not like national media guys, they were all in
Someone that used to work here, Andrew Filippone,
yes,
who hosts in Pittsburgh. He's doing the same thing. Same
right.
Like victory lap dance and like, this team's going
to
be great.
The teams aren't preparing to play each other in the preseason. They're preparing to test out their playbook and what happens and what doesn't.
And not to mention, Pittsburgh's very first game was the same opponent that they faced in the very last game of their season.
Right.
And it was vastly different.
It was the opposite direction.
And it mattered a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
The stakes were a little bit higher.
Yep.
But they faced the Bills, blew them out in the preseason. They faced the Bills in the postseason, get the doors kicked off of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of tells you, like the preseason pledge, it's always hard to make sure of it. But this year, I'm more curious. I'm not going to be reactive more than I'm going to be inquisitive. Because Bruce brought something up when we talked to him about when players are playing still. Usage and deployment is important. It's going to be something that everyone has to remember here. We always have our training camp darlings, everything like that. Like Andy Isabella last year. I remember having to scream from the top of buildings or having the fun debate with Joe DiBiase too. I'm like, no. It's like, yeah, Khalil Shakir's taken a hit with production in terms of training camp or preseason. He hasn't looked very good. And then by the end of last season, He became our hope of any sort of talent retention within the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
He's now the guy that everyone's expecting to take a big leap 1 year later. After having, objectively as a Shakir fan here, not a great training camp last year. And very genuinely being on the roster bubble. Instead, everyone's looking at him as like, hey, he's kind of the guy to lead this wide receiver room right now. It tells you that preseason, we still need to take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be more enjoyable this year because we're going to see plenty of new faces. We're going to see the deployment of Ray Davis. How much is he going to be used in the preseason? Like, what's the share with him and Ty Johnson? You've got plenty of wide receivers on this roster bubble. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Chase Claypool, Mac Hollins being a special teamer. Like, how much are you going to use him as a wide receiver?
You forget how many there are.
Andy Isabella, last year's training camp preseason darling, is going to be fighting with a roster spot here.
Mm-hmm.
KJ Hamler is no schmuck. Justin Shorter, a guy that managed to stay within this team all throughout the season, you know, as a practice squad player. We don't know what's going to happen.
No.
But there's a lot of questions that have to be answered, and it's going to be fun to look at. How's this new look offensive line with Connor McGovern at center instead of guard?
Mm-hmm. What's Joe Brady's scheme even look like, right?
What's Joe Brady's scheme going to look like? David Edwards jumping into left guard at that point is probably what it's going to be drawn up as. Or does Cedric Van... Oh, hang on. I got to say it right again. Cedric Van Pran Granger.
Van Pran Granger, yeah.
Become a steal in the third round.
He might.
Then you could kick McGovern over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of questions that have to be answered. And one of them that we do not talk about enough is center or the interior offensive line.
Yes. Because, and I like what you just said. McGovern possibly get kicked over? Because Van Pran Granger, the steal in the third round. What a young player to start with Allen and basically go through the rest of the career if healthy.
Yeah,
right?
We'll see what happens there. Because, like, yeah. Osiris Torrance steps in and contributes immediately as a second-round pick at guard.
Honestly, I had the Bills picking him first in a lot of scenarios, but they ended up doing better.
But again, we don't know what's going to happen here. There's a lot of wonder. Like, how good does Keon Coleman look right away? Like, obviously, preseason is not going to be something, but it's going to give people some hope. It's going to give people some expectation. And it's going to be about looking at physical traits and capabilities and how he's able to use them on other players.
Yeah.
Hopefully against projected starters.
Yeah. Well, the thing too, the blue and white game is another part of training camp-ish that preseason I consider when they play pad on pad with each other, right? Last year I went, it was just the Bills, whatever, because it was just the same guys in the same positions. This year you're going to see your linebackers, Milano and Bernard, playing against your guys on the offense, these undecided guys. So I think that's going to be more interesting to go to as well. Just like you said, there's new talent, there's new everything.
There's new talent everywhere.
Like, yeah.
When I'm looking at these wide receivers, I'm looking at that secondary too. What's my safety duo going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
What becomes the best looking safety duo? How much does Cole Bishop get in? Like, deployment's going to matter in these things.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like? And it's going to be fascinating to watch. Because like you said, the last couple of years, it's been run it back, run it back, run it back, run it back. And run it back with these championship expectations on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You have Josh Allen. You should be wanting to expect a championship no matter what. But there is a new question of how the rest of this group looks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I could look at the offense and I can give you plenty of different questions. And I bring up the offensive line on the interior, because Mitch Morse was a big deal for this team.
He was the glue in the middle of that line.
He was.
When he got removed for that injury, there was a huge, like, gaping hole. It was bad.
And a player, though, that had a lot of concussion questions and, like, concerns. Mm-hmm. Like, there were a lot of those worries. He was relatively healthy throughout his time with the Bills,
mm-hmm.
which is good. That was exactly what he proved to be a value of that contract that he was signed to.
Yeah. Well, you think the center position never really has been that much of a concern, right?
Exactly, because you have Mitch Morse. Like, and I could write it off.
Before that, you had Eric Wood. There was only one season in between the two, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. And
that was because they went and shelled out money to get Mitch Morse.
Exactly. And then you had Morse locked down. He was your center. You never had to worry about it.
And, like, yeah, he missed a couple of games with injury, but, like, he didn't miss chunks of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He only missed a game or two here and there. There weren't pockets of time that he was out. And last year, we looked at this offensive line as a unit, and it was one of the best in football. Run blocking, pass blocking, they were very consistent together. Now there's going to be a question, what happens in the middle here? Four of the five come back. What happens with number five? That's the question. And because even then, sometimes, like, also you got to look at depth, because the Bills were hilariously healthy on the offensive line last year.
Yeah.
I think that's the right term for it. They were hilariously healthy on the offensive line. You don't typically go through a whole season with your offensive line intact like they did.
Yep. They had no worry there. And funnily enough, everywhere else was a question on the defense. You know,
yep, it was, there were injuries everywhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
But if you did not hear it, here, I'll pull the mic even closer to it.
Knocking vigorously on wood or whatever. I know there's wood surrounding the ceramic material
yes.
of some kind.
There is wooden material here.
Mm-hmm.
I am knocking on it because that's what I have to do. Wide receiver, obviously. Deployment of Kincaid and Knox. We didn't get a lot of the two of them together last year. The emergence of Dalton Kincaid. How much more is he going to be used in this offense? How much more is Shakir going to be involved in a heavier role? Deployment of the running backs, like Bruce had mentioned. All of these are questions that I want the answers to, but I'm also fascinated by. Who are the wide receivers that win their battles for not just catching a football, but catching a roster spot? Because there's names here. There's names that are fascinating. It's not like they're world enders. It's not like the Bills went and signed OBJ, and that's like such a huge name, but he's not the player that he was.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, people know who Marquez Valdes-Scantling is. People know who Chase Claypool is.
Yeah, and Claypool might be the one I'm most interested by, I'm going to be honest with you, because I know it might be somewhat of a hot take. He's shown his promise, and that was with a dying Ben Roethlisberger,
yes.
essentially. And then you had Kenny Pickett, and then he bounced around teams just as a depth guy, whatever. He didn't really play. I think he understands the assignment. And the Bills understand the assignment with him here, that he's going to try and be proving himself that he deserves a spot on a roster in the NFL as a receiver of any proportion, not a wide receiver one, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's proving that, and the Bills are giving him that opportunity because, you know what? It's to their benefit either way. If he doesn't pan out, he's just not on the roster. They have other guys who are going to pan out. If he does pan out, he adds to the roster where other guys they're banking on. It gives them a little bit of a security blanket. So go chase Claypool. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, no, like here's the thing. When a player signs with the Bills, I want them to succeed. I want them to be able to make these plays. I want them to do good things. Why would you not? And for me, it's more or less I'm going to look at what Chase Claypool has done in Pittsburgh and hope that he can replicate that early career success. Because if so, then you're getting 800 yards out of a guy. Sign me up. That's a great depth addition at that point. Or just a good addition at that point.
Yeah.
You're getting 800 yards out of someone that's wide receiver two numbers.
That's what I'm saying. I think the
if
Bills...
If you get 600 to 700 out of Chase Claypool, hey, good for him. He'll get himself a nice contract, either here or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've benefited from it.
And you've benefited from it. Like Leonard Floyd last year. Man got himself a nice little contract this offseason.
Yeah.
But the Bills were benefactors of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got double-digit sacks out of a late signing.
Right, to fill an injury that was just... Von Miller was supposed to come back as Von Miller, and that never happened. So.
But also, he was available that late, and everyone's like, okay, they just signed Leonard Floyd. That's sick.
Mm-hmm. And here we go.
And last year, I was the guy constantly saying, nobody's talking enough about Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was phenomenal.
He was great. Better than even I thought he was going to do.
I think better than anyone, any talking head show, anything
nobody
said he was
really
going to be.
Nobody mentioned him.
No.
That was the thing. And I was starting to get like, why is nobody talking about him? And this is not me tooting my own horn. This is just more or less like, who's that guy this year? And right. It might be Chase Claypool. And that would be fascinating to me because, again, the Bills then become benefactors. We watching them become benefactors because you see a player do well, that makes you happy. It gives you that serotonin boost. That's why we watch sports, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the thing. You root for these guys on your squad. Like, you root for anybody, right? I mean, in any job. everyone wants to see a friend get a promotion, something like that, right?
Yes.
And that's what you're watching on the TV. You align yourself with these guys in your team. They're your squad. And to see them, albeit moving on, but moving up, is nothing but good. So I'm fine with that.
And again, he is just one of many players on how this wide receiver deployment is going to be that you want to pay attention to. Who's a guy playing in the third quarter of game two? Who's a guy that's playing in the second half of game three?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are things that you have to start looking out for
right in
those games because, all right, who's on the outside that needs to fight their way back? Like Bruce had said, if you're playing the fourth quarter of the last preseason game, you're putting out tape for somebody else.
Yeah. If you are not on the field.
If you're not on the field, you feel great.
That last game, for most of it, if you're on the field like Allen is for a couple snaps, whatever.
If you're playing in the first half of the last preseason game,
you're good.
You're good. Unless you absolutely tank the first half of the last preseason game.
Yeah.
Like, if they start losing because of you, well, then there's problems. But there's enough questions on offense. And then you look at the defense and go, okay, pass rusher. Is Von Miller going to be back to at least a semblance of what he was? Because last year, he was unplayable at times. Not even at times. For the most part last year, he was unplayable.
Yeah. And you know what, though? By the end of the season, who was getting the pressure on Patrick Mahomes? It was him.
But again, it became like this. He was rushed back, and part of it was his own words. You know, he did put a lot of pressure on himself because he would say it. But now, A.J. Epinesa gets a nice little deal here. Can he keep up the efficiency that he was bringing? If you're going to say it about Khalil Shakir, you should be saying it about him too. Can you keep it up with A.J. Epinesa? Is he able to continue to be a pass-deflecting menace? Is Greg Rousseau going to be able to take that next step as a first-round pick? Dwayne Smoot, how good of an addition does that become? A guy that was fighting injury and someone that should be able to contribute. At defensive tackle, you've got Daquan Jones coming back from injury. Ed Oliver. We need to put that to rest, by the way. If anyone talks bad about Ed Oliver, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're wrong.
Oh, yeah. You see him ride those horses on his Instagram?
It's fun.
He's flying and not moving.
Maybe he could play some polo.
Could play some polo. Absolutely. Get Josh Schmidt on the line right now.
We need Joshua Schmidt.
Yes.
Dwayne Carter looks like a really good depth addition as a draft pick in the third round. I'm fascinated by these kinds of things. Deion Jones, probably my favorite signing of the offseason as linebacker depth. They needed a player like this so that you can go ahead and have a rotation in there. But Deion Jones could be a starter for you if there's injuries to Milano or to Bernard and he needs to fill in for a couple of games. Dorian Williams coming back the next year. You want to see what kind of progression he has. Baylen Spector at least proved in the Pittsburgh game in particular that he was good depth for this team. And then, of course, the secondary. Can Kyrie Williams step up? This is a huge year for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to see that sort of success because, I said this on Thursday, he's a really great guy. He gives back to the community a lot. And you want to just see him succeed, if only for that reason alone. But also, he's a Buffalo Bill. You want to see Bills make plays. And I would love to see Kyrie Williams really start to challenge for more snaps on the outside with Rasul Douglas and Christian Bedford. And if you have a three-corner rotation on the outside like that, look out. Because then you're dangerous. And of course, at safety, Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards, projected starters. Cole Bishop, the second-round pick that Draft Twitter fell in love with that selection. How quickly does Bishop start making a role for himself? Well, you got to find these things out. 803-0550 is a number to call. What kind of storyline are you fascinated with this Bills team? What concerns you the most?
There are
concerns.
Yeah.
They are unproven.
It's a very valid question, concern-wise.
You can give us a call. However, in the next segment, we are going to be talking around the diamond as Pat Malacaro joins us talking about Bisons, promotions, anything like that, any fun games that you can go to. Mount up for tonight. Joey Votto, is he going to be able to chalk his way into the lineup before the Bisons are on the road?
Bo as well. Will he have a... Yeah.
He might have to come down on an injury assignment. We're going to see. And we'll talk to Pat about that and more around the diamond here coming up next on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.